Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast on the Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We are joined by Steve Levy, who is going to be co-hosting SportsCenter All Access on ESPN Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a special edition of SportsCenter where they take everybody behind the scenes. We're going to get to that in a second, but I have a burning question for you.
I love burning questions.
All that you've accomplished in your career over about a quarter century at ESPN, more beyond that, where did it rank in your career accomplishments to speak to opening day of the Simsbury Little League in 1994?
I'd say it was second. second, right after the fifth overtime game I did between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Okay, that's
Keith
very
Primo scoring that goal. But yeah, number two, I would say overall on my list. Thank you.
I was sitting on a towel in the outfield. I won't say I remember it vividly, but I definitely remember
it. I think I still have the baseball. They gave me a baseball that day. That's funny you remember that.
So you're hosting this SportsCenter All Access with Michael Eaves. What's kind of your elevator pitch for why people should tune into it?
I think people enjoy the behind-the-scenes aspect. I think they've always liked that about SportsCenter. I think they've always enjoyed Dream Job. I thought that was a huge success for a long time, and that was the epitome of the behind-the-scenes. You know, putting in essence people off the street to be a SportsCenter anchor and see what it's like and experience what we experience on a regular basis. And I think that was the basis for all the success of the This Is SportsCenter promos, all the behind the scenes, you know, where all the mascots are walking by, the professional athletes just happen to be, you know, over in the next room singing or dancing. So, look, if you enjoy whatever it is you enjoy, people always want to see how it's made. And, you know, I caution it a little bit. They say a magician never tells his secrets. And here we are, we're going to put all our secrets all out on the street. So I think people get a kick out of it. I hope something goes wrong. I hope something breaks. I hope there's a huge equipment failure. I hope the teleprompter goes down, mostly on Michael Eaves. And I hope a massive story breaks in the middle of the show, because that'd give you a real feel. You know, if everything goes according to plan and we go as scripted in the rundown, which never happens, that'll make for a rather dull hour and a half, depending upon whatever the Red Sox and Yankees finish.
On a typical 10 p.m. SportsCenter, how many people outside of the anchors are working on the show at any given one night?
Totally working on the show, I would say they're probably maybe 50, 50.
Really?
When you take into account all the technical people, all the people in screening, maybe even more. Maybe it's 60 or 70 when you take into account all the people in screening, all the people working on the highlights, all the editors, all the audio people, makeup. Some people require a lot of makeup. Not yours truly, of course. I'd say the show, certainly 50 people on a given night.
In the last couple years, I wouldn't say necessarily that the brand of SportsCenter has come under siege, although I would say that the idea of the standard news and highlights show is constantly evolving, and the way that SportsCenter has been, it's been a pendulum going back and forth of what viewers want, what executives want, what the talents want. We've seen a little bit some struggles where they try to do the SportsCenter brand with different types of anchors are interjecting their opinion as opposed to setting up other people's opinions or narrating highlights. Do you think that any traditional anchor brethren feel a little bit vindicated when other types of ideas for the show don't work as planned? Or what do you sense among people that you know who have been anchors for 20, 30 years?
Well, first of all, I agree with your premise that the show has evolved, and it has evolved as to what we think or what management believes that the fans want the most. Every show is different now on SportsCenter. And I think that's a big change. I mean, back in the day, and I'm old, and I've been there a long time, you know, when there really, there were three live sports centers, you know, 6, 11, and 2:30 a.m., and that was mine, you know, long before we had a Los Angeles studio. And those shows were, for the most part, very, very similar. And I can't exactly pinpoint, Ryan, when it changed, but the mandate definitely came down from management. We want to differentiate all sports centers. We want every show to be somewhat different in their own way. And that could be, you know, from the style of the way it's shot, from the different sets, the different locales, certainly the different anchors play a role, and the day part, you know, the time of day. So that has certainly changed. The vindication, I don't get any of that. I want every sports center to do great. I've never hid behind the fact I'm a company guy, and I root for every show to do great and every anchor to be out there. But my show has always been this, you know, this 11 o'clock p.m. show, and even our show has changed a lot. And I think it's definitely gotten back to its roots. And I'm in favor of scores and highlights and getting both right. And that's me personally. That's what I try to do every single night.
There's a huge advantage from being a SportsCenter program, in my opinion, to being at night immediately after the games when the results are most fresh. It's really, I think, in today's age where all of this is available at our fingerprints, it's a tough sell to do news and highlights as the day after, whether that's the morning or even if it's a pregame show for the night sports fair. I don't think that's as interesting as reacting freshly to what actually happens on the playing field. What do you think about that?
That's why I've got the best seat in the house, brother. You know, the 11 o'clock sports center is all read and react. I mentioned before, I hope on Tuesday night, tomorrow night, that the, you know, something crazy happens in the sports world and we go unscripted and we throw the rundown away, because for the most part, that's what my show does every single night. It is as unscripted as it has ever been. There is less written by the anchors than there has ever been. There is far less in the teleprompter than there has ever been. And that is the reaction show. And that's, you know, that's just based on the day part, that the games are ending as we are on the air. And I think people are surprised when I'm doing the highlights, I'm seeing them for the first time, just like the guy at home, the audience at home is. And so that's really a lot of fun. That's fun for us. And so I might not nail it every time because, again, I'm seeing it for the first time. But I think people can appreciate watching it for the first time with us together. And that's one of the aspects I really, really enjoy. That 6 p.m. time slot is really difficult. That 6 p.m. time slot, regardless of the anchors, is really difficult and has always been, because you're, in essence, previewing everything. Nothing has really happened in the night in sports on a weekday at that point, and that makes it really hard. So the difficult part on my show is the reaction and being right on the reaction. The easy part is there's plenty flying around and things are coming in and people are calling and texting. Hey, have you seen this? Look at this. Go to this game. Got to check this out. And I think even if you've seen it on your cracked phone screen, like most of America seems to have a few cracks in their phone screen, as Butcher Gras says, you want to see these highlights on your beautiful 60-inch television in your living room. And I think that's something SportsCenter has always had going forward and always will.
You mentioned the This Is SportsCenter ads earlier. What is your Mount Rushmore of those spots over the years?
That's an impossible question to answer. There's so many good ones. All I will say is I don't think I'm very good at them. I'm not the funny guy. I'm usually the straight guy, and I laugh a lot. You can hear on the show on SportsCenter. I'm giggling in the background. I like to laugh. I like to have a good time. If something's funny, I'm going to laugh. And you know, I have ruined so many takes of This Is SportsCenter because I just can't stop laughing. I crack up. And the one that comes to mind recently, somebody showed me a clip of the CC Sabathia This Is SportsCenter with Van Pelt in the fat suit. And the idea was, you know, that so Sabathia is in the home uniform and that pinstripes are swimming. And here comes Van Pelt, and he's in horizontal pinstripes and a fat suit. And, you know, Scott walks in the room, and I lost it, you know, 12 times in a row. I must have blown 15 consecutive takes. And, you know, Van Pelt was a good sport, and CC Sabathia was a really good sport. And so that's one of my favorites. I love the LaDainian Tomlinson one where I'm with him and he can't put the mail in the correct mailboxes because he has the tinted visor. And his agent wonders, you know, his agent, his marketing guy is trying to get him some FaceTime. And so he's right there and he goes to the producer goes, "Hey, if LaDainian took off his helmet, you'd be able to see his face. You know, can we do it that way?" And of course, well, then the skit's not funny. Then he's just a moron. Why can't he put it in the right mailboxes if he's not wearing the tinted visor? And there goes the joke. But the marketing guy didn't think that was funny. But there are so many. I get a lot of the sizzling bacon action with Ocho Cinco before he was Ocho Cinco, where I'm, you know, I'm dancing around on a conference room table. Really, there hasn't been one bad one. Even from the silent ones, where Jay Harris is about to get into the elevator and it's the New Jersey Devil, and he of course is, you know, Jay says something like going up and the Devil, of course, is going down. And so Jay doesn't get in the elevator. Like, they're just brilliant. I miss them. They're probably the most talked about thing everywhere we go that people want to discuss. And again, I think that's some of the feel of what you'll see when we give you SportsCenter All Access tomorrow night. Or Tuesday night, yeah, tomorrow night.
The sports package that you were really heavily connected with for a decade at ESPN was the NHL. You did play-by-play for it. You were really all around the coverage of the sport. So I want to put you on the spot again. What is a material possession that you have, you enjoy using a lot or having a lot, that you would personally trade in order for ESPN to reacquire the NHL rights when they come up again?
Ooh, that's a really good question. A personal possession that I have. You know, I'll be honest, I'm not a collector. I have never asked for an autograph for myself except for Gino Auriemma. When I did it live on the air, I got my credential signed because he just won 100th consecutive game, which I don't think we'll ever see again in any big-time sport. But I've never been that collector guy. I have a plastic rat from the old Miami Arena where the Florida Panthers, when they went to the Stanley Cup Final in 1996. It was still on the ice. I took that with me. I have a few locks of Melrose's hair. I would trade that. I would trade that for sure to get the NHL rights back. I would have to do. You know,
might demand more.
Whatever it takes. You know,
there is. I don't think
whatever it takes.
Start with that.
Yeah, that's fair. I can always get some more too, right?
Yes, it's a renewable resource.
Whatever it takes. I'd love to have hockey back. There are so many hockey fans still at ESPN. I know we are rolling out. I hope this is not a big surprise on the new ESPN Plus. I know we're going to roll out a nightly hockey show that is just exclusively for ESPN Plus immediately after all the night's action is over. I think it's mostly going to be Linda and Barry. I'm going to do a couple nights a week, I think, until we go to the Stanley Cup Final. But we love the game. There's so many people who enjoy it. And again, we're hoping, I think that's 2 years, the rights come back up. I know we've been competitive every year. I know the last time around, I was really pleased that, you know, our executives came to me and said, hey, we were in it till the end. We, you know, we kept going up in the money. And, you know, NBC had the right of a first refusal. So every time we went up, they were had the ability to match. And so we gave it our best effort and didn't get it. And hopefully in a couple of years, we'll be back in the bidding game and have a chance to bring it back to ESPN. Even the World Cup, just getting the taste of the World Cup was a huge thrill for all of us, I think.
That NHL show on ESPN Plus seems a little bit like it could be dipping the toe in the water to ramp up the content in the event that it would happen, just as somebody who observes these things.
That's great. And if that's the case, I'm all in. Where do I sign? So, you know, look, we get a bad rap on the hockey thing, especially during the playoffs. Melrose moves into Bristol. I mean, he is there the whole 6 weeks of the first three rounds. He's there every night, and he appears just about on every single show. And, of course, you know, he's a one-man band. We really, you know, we have, you know, 50 NFL analysts, 40 NBA analysts, and I think we got, you know, 30 baseball and one hockey. And so it's, you know, it's all Barry. It's all on him. And you know, during the playoffs, especially at 11 on Van Pelt with Neil Everett on the LA show, we do a ton of hockey in the playoffs when it matters the most.
I want to go back to a little bit before your time at ESPN. You were a New York media member. You did some stuff for MSG, WFAN, which are some institutions that have endured. At a point, kind of in your late 20s or in your 20s, how do you decide whether you want to pursue becoming like a king of New York, which can be a sustainable career path for decades and decades until retirement, or whether you want to be a national broadcaster?
Well, it wasn't my decision. I'll be quite frank with you. I never wanted to leave New York City. You know, I was born and raised there. All my friends, all my family was there. I got a huge break coming out of a small state school in New York, in upstate New York, at Oswego. And I never wanted to leave. I would never have left. I pleaded with WCBS TV Channel 2 to not let me go. I was fortunate at ESPN, and that's one of the beauties of working in New York City. ESPN's able, you know, the executives are able to see you on television because they get the New York City television stations and hear you on the radio and WFAN, the flamethrower that it is. And ESPN made me an offer, and I went back to Channel 2. At that point, I was doing 4 days at WFAN and Friday and Saturday nights on WCBS TV in New York. And I begged CBS TV, please let me stay. You know, I want to do more television. And they, you know, and I got it. They were like, Steve, you know, you're 26 or whatever I was at the time. You can't be, you know, the lead sports anchor in New York City at that age. And I think they offered me one more night. So it was, you know, three nights of TV and then 3 nights of radio, 3 days of radio, whatever it was. And I let the ESPN offer go. And then my agent, Steve Lefkowitz, who is no longer with us, 6 months later, ESPN came back with a better offer. And I went back to CBS, please don't make me go. I don't want to go to Bristol. You know, this is 1993. And CBS said, you know, there's nothing really we can do at this time if you want to stay with us. And so my agent said, he said, look, this is ESPN. They're not going to come back a third time. And I jumped and I said, okay, I'm out of here. And I went to Bristol, and it was by far, the best move I could have ever made. These things tend to work out for the right reasons, and it did. And Channel 2, by the way, has gone through 30 or 40 different sports anchors, I am sure, in these last 25 years. And I remain to this day the happiest guy in our industry. No question about that.
That's pretty amazing. I'm the luckiest guy ever. Obviously, there's like kind of the cosmopolitan differences between New York City and in Connecticut, where I grew up, but that's still fascinating to me, like, that you would have been willing to turn down. Look, ESPN's at its most powerful, I guess, within the last several years, but in terms of just like being a really like exciting, growing enterprise. ESPN in 1993, like Big Show, SportsCenter, and all that stuff. I'm really surprised to hear that you would have really been willing to turn that down to be a local news sports anchor.
I was so immersed in the local New York teams, and my love for them and going to those games. And, you know, I loved Shea Stadium, not just for the Mets, but for the Jets too. And I loved going to the Garden, the electricity. And I really didn't, you know, at that time, that age, I didn't allow myself to think nationally. I was so proud to be from New York. I wanted to be Marv Albert. I wanted to be Warner Wolf and Len Berman and those. You know, those were my guys watching them growing up doing the 6 o'clock news and the 11 o'clock news. I dreamt about saying, you know, that's it in sports. Now back to Chuck and Sue, Chuck Scarborough and Sue Simmons on NBC News, you know, which is what, you know, Marv and Len Berman got to do. And that's all I wanted to do. I never allowed myself to see, you know, what did I care about the Mariners, you know, at that point in my life and the Utah Jazz? Where's Utah? You know, I'm in New York, and I was prepared to leave. I really was. Everyone told me you're going to have to leave, you know, polish your skills, go small market. And for whatever reason, for whatever breaks I had, and this goes back to luck, and I firmly believe it's luck. There are a lot of talented people in the business. I flat out got lucky that I did not have to leave New York before going to ESPN. So I've had an amazing ride, had so many great opportunities. I worked with so many people, and I mean it. You got to believe me, Ryan. Again, I'm coming up on my 25th year. Every time I drive home leaving the ESPN parking lot, I can't believe how lucky I am I work at this place. I really feel that. It's afforded me, you know, everything I've had in my life. It's been great to me and my kids and my family, and just I'm still so lucky, man. I really believe that.
Okay, real quick, I wanted to talk about your not transition, but you had been doing some play-by-play on hockey. You went about a decade without doing play-by-play, and then you landed on the college football package. I'd say you usually get somewhere around like the third best game of the day in the suite of ABC and ESPN games. How did you pick up the ability to call football that late in your career?
So people don't remember this. So back when I was doing hockey, I was also doing college football. I did college football for a 5-year period. I had the noon ESPN game coming right at a game day. And I think that was pretty much while I was also doing hockey. And then a mandate came down from management, and this was pretty serious. They said, listen, you know, we're sort of splitting the divisions. You're either a remote, meaning a play-by-play road guy, or you're a studio guy, you know, Bristol-based. And I really didn't want to make that decision. I really had, you know, the best of both worlds. And I looked at all my options. We had lost the hockey package. I was just doing the college football. And I was wondering, you know, what am I going to do the rest of the year outside of college football? So that decision was sort of made for me, and I went back to SportsCenter full-time. And then it really, the opportunity arose by the shifting of the door. So Mike Tirico leaves to go to NBC. Sean McDonough goes to Monday Night Football, and that opened up a big slot in college football. And that's when they offered it to me, and I jumped at the chance. And I've had so much fun. You know, I'm a hockey guy for sure, but if everything I've done, there is no single better event for me than being in a college football stadium on a Saturday at kickoff. It is a thrill every single week. And it's allowed me to grow. It's like using different muscles, right? The play-by-play muscle, if you will. And it's allowed me to, re-energize maybe. I really think it's helped me on SportsCenter too. I firmly believe that all SportsCenter anchors should be able to get out into the field and see how it is, see how hard these players, these athletes work, how they train, the pressure they go through, the conditions they work under. You know, I've always said it's really easy to, you know, sit behind a desk wearing a pancake makeup and take shots at these athletes and these bloopers. when you're behind a desk in Bristol, Connecticut, where it's nice and safe. But to have to greet these athletes face to face, you know, in their pregame workouts, the morning skate, Saturday walk, Friday walk through, whatever it is, that gives you a whole new perspective and really can open up your mind. It's really helped me on SportsCenter, doing the play-by-play and being out on the road. And again, I have the best of the both worlds. I get to be in the college football game, travel all these great little towns and see all these tremendous athletes, these great people and all the great traditions they have. And then, you know, the other half of the year, I got the best seat in all of sports, and that's to anchor the 11 o'clock Sports Center.
Is there anything that we didn't discuss that you'd like to talk about right now?
Yes, I'd like to do an NBA game on the radio. Can you make that happen?
I don't know that I specifically can make that happen.
Every year we get a sort of a stealth evaluation they ask us to do. And they say, hey, what would you like to do at ESPN still? And every year I put that, I'd like to do one bad NBA game on the radio. I just think that would be really cool to do. And that's sort of on my bucket list. I'd like to make that happen, but I was just kidding. I don't think that's up to you.
Say, what type of influence do you think that I have over that?
My influence hasn't worked yet. Mine hasn't worked yet, so I thought maybe yours could give yours a shot too.
I'll make a call to my guy and see what I can arrange.
You got a guy, all right. I wish I had a guy.
Okay, I appreciate your coming on once again. SportsCenter All Access with Steve Levy, Michael Eaves. They're promising special guests, which sounds intriguing. They're going to take you behind the scenes of how the 10 p.m. SportsCenter gets produced. We appreciate your coming on and hope to do this again sometime in the future.
Give a call anytime, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Familiar touch turns strange.